Hello.
Hello, am I speaking with Mr. Green?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, sir. My name's Aaron. I'm calling you from the investigation team here at MMA Legal. How are you?
Oh, yeah. All right, mate. Yeah, yeah.
Good, sir. Good. I'm only giving you a quick call in regards to your strategy, just claim that you've opened up with ourselves.
All right.
Perfect, sir. So this phone call will take around about 10 to 15 minutes to go through. Is that okay?
Okay, yeah.
Perfect, sir. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask you a series of questions so I can represent you the best way that I can. And it's just to get a general knowledge, obviously, from your time in care and post-care as well. So obviously, I do understand the statement that you've given to my colleagues a couple of days ago. What I'm here to do is just get an understanding of how the time in care does affect you back then and obviously to this day. So I can obviously get a good understanding of yourself, sir. Do you currently suffer from any mental health illnesses at all?
Yeah, more or less, yeah. I had quite a, carry on with mental health. I'm down as a doctor with that as well, plus alcoholism and stuff like that, it all goes along with it.
Yeah.
Bereavement counselling and all sorts of things like that. I've been part of all that under the doctor's consent.
Yeah, okay. So what is it? Have you been clinically diagnosed with anything like, you know, depression, anxiety, PTSD?
Yeah. Because I'm on disability benefits and stuff. I've been on them for quite a long time, but a lot of mental health issues goes along with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
Depression and all that stuff, that all covers it anyway, you know what I mean? But that's all. That's all my medical records anyway, you know what I mean? All that stuff.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay, so the doctor is aware of clients, counselling. Okay, and how long would you say you've kind of been suffering like this, sir?
Well, I suppose it's on the doctor's record for over 20 years anyway, at least.
Okay. Okay, sir. And obviously, you have mentioned alcoholism and stuff. Are you still drinking at the moment?
Yeah, but well, I was a registered alcoholic, but I don't drink very much at all. Maybe the odd glass of wine or something at a funeral or something. That's about it, because it affects my well-being, drinking.
Yeah.
It comes into a different person, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I refuse to participate in what I used to do.
Okay. So you no longer drink at the minute?
No.
Okay, sure.
What personality wants to start that? I've got, very bad vibe off everybody around me. That's, it's not good.
Yeah, no, I understand that. My personality. Disorder. Okay, sir. It's my personality. Due to health reasons. Okay, sir. And do you take any recreational drugs or have you in the past?
No, I don't. It's a thing I've never been involved with any kind of drug abuse. The only drugs I take is what's prescribed to me.
Yeah.
The only thing I will say that I do take is a CBD lozenges, but that's for, they're supposed to be helping with the arthritis and stuff and sleeping at night, but they're bought over the counter, more or less, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Help with anxiety. Yeah, no, I do believe CBD is very helpful towards the relaxation of the body and sleep and stuff. Yeah, no, I do understand that.
Yeah, I've
been on it
quite a few
years. Yeah. Okay, and one question I don't... Sorry, go on, sir.
Go on, no, carry on.
Okay, one question I don't like to ask anybody, and obviously I do apologise for asking, so, is... have you ever tried to self-harm or take your own life, sir?
Yeah, it's been in my mind quite a few times. yeah.
All right. Have you ever attempted to do so?
Well, I did when I was in custody many years ago, like cutting my wrists and stuff like that. But that was on record anyway. That was while I was awaiting trial in prison.
Yeah.
About 1973. But the thing's always been there.
Yeah.
I actually felt with ending it all over the weekend. I'm in so much pain with the problems I have with my body.
Yeah.
And it's getting but it's always my doctor, that's why he sent me for counselling a couple of times.
Yeah.
Because it's the only thing that's keeping me going at the minute is I've got two grandchildren.
Yeah.
One is 8 weeks old and one is 3 years old. But
yeah.
I see quite often and I'm very close with them. I think without them, it would be a different story.
Okay, sir. Alright, so obviously you have had the recent thoughts obviously be your grandchildren is a what keep you going.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I've got quite a few health problems, you see, I'm probably 3 operations I think, due to be probably this year. And then injury shoulder and a hip replacement. And it's all down one side of my body. And it's absolutely horrendous, you know what I mean? It's the pain involved.
Okay. One side of this pain. It's tremendous. Okay, so just touching on that, obviously your thoughts were recent. Do you have a plan in mind that you'd act upon?
As a matter of fact, I do. Yeah. And I've always said that to anybody that would listen.
Yeah.
I'm too much of a coward. I've tried the wrist slitting. That didn't work for me. I've come up with a plan now that I would try and get insulin.
Yeah.
And 2 or 3 overdoses of insulin as far as that happened because it's like, and it's a case of falling asleep and that's the end of it. So, because taking opioids and all that, if you don't take enough and you wake up, it could cause more damage to your body and that's only more pain.
I'm
looking for the quick silent exit. That when you fall asleep, that's the end of it. So I think the diabetes injections would be the way out. I've got relatives that have diabetes, so I don't think getting insulin would be too much of a problem for me.
Okay, sir.
That's also been noted on my medical records as well, because I told the doctor that.
Alright, so what has the doctor done to help this situation? Is it just the counselling that he's offered?
Yeah, more or less, that's all they can offer really, is counselling sessions. I don't know, see I've been offered rehab and all that in the past for alcoholism and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the problem is with me, because of what happened to me all these years ago, see, authority, I cannot deal with authority.
Yeah.
I rebel against authority. So going into any kind of institution, you know, regarding alcoholism, or even this sectioned me, you know what I mean?
From
various things. That would only make me worse. and I've tried to avoid all contact with it. As soon as they mentioned that mental health, I've shied away from it. And no, I couldn't cope with that. Just bring back too many memories. I don't think I would survive it.
Okay. What I do want to say, Mr. Drain, is thank you very much, obviously, for your honesty and opening up like this. It just takes a lot of confidence and you know, balls to do so. You know, there's not many people out there that will, you know, sit there and describe what you've described. You know, as I said, it just takes a lot of confidence. So thank you for being open and honest with me, because obviously the more I can build for your case and your situation, the better I can put that forward to the Scottish Government.
Yeah. Understand.
Okay.
I've actually thought about putting all this in a book.
To be honest, it is always good to do so. It can be a helpful tool in writing down your feelings and how them feelings are making you feel. When you're feeling them emotions. You know, it wouldn't make you any less of a human being by doing so. And it's a kind of bit of, you know, a coping mechanism for some people in some circumstances.
A lot of people I meet, you know, especially young people, you know, through anything, our family meetings or something, that's all been everything, you know.
Yeah.
That they shouldn't be. I'm always telling them what the outcome will be and what to avoid. And you know what I mean? And you know, the people with low and all that.
Yeah.
Even junkies and stuff, I've always spoke to them and tried to straighten them, you know, the way I've done it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, passing on a bit of knowledge like that is helpful to. Because people think they're on their own, young stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah. When
they talk to some old guy and they think, what does he know? And you think, listen, pal, I mean, I was on the streets, and I've been homeless about four times during my lifetime. And although I don't look homeless now, but I have in the past. But I must say, being homeless today, I think, I'm not being funny, but I think it was far easier today than it was in the past. I mean, I was sleeping in Euston Station when I was 15 and 16.
Yeah.
And I had my belongings and I left one of these that you just took out, I lost, put it back in again. And traveling about Piccadilly Circus, 15 or 16 years of age, you know what I mean? It's you're open to everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the way of it, what it was then. I'm glad it's changed a bit now.
Yeah, no, of course. So just to reiterate, obviously, the support that you're receiving at the minute, is that just counselling, is it?
Yeah, well, do you know something? You can't even go into counselling now because of the waiting list. And it's just the same old, same old. So you're more or less counselling yourself.
Yeah.
I meet with some other old people in a home there and just you counsel yourself, you know what I mean? They're all going through hard times.
Yeah.
But most of them are kind of disabled now and they're in wheelchairs and such, other than sheltered complexes. So
yeah.
It's just a case of doing that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just sitting there and talking
to yourself. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I do understand that. Okay. Obviously, it's not true for yourself. Just to let you know what we have as a law firm here at, you know, MMA Legal.
Yeah.
We do have a medical practitioner here who is a mental health nurse.
All right.
I can, by all means, when she does come into the office, I can by all means get her to give you a call, and obviously she can go through, obviously what you told me, she can go through, you know, what. She can kind of paint a picture of what support you're getting, and if there is any further additional support or what kind of suits your situation. Obviously, I'm not fully experienced in the mental health side of things, but she knows a lot of services or a lot of places that you can, you know, go to.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you might not be waiting on waiting lists and stuff like that. So if likes it, I can always pass your details over to my colleague, and she can just give you a courtesy call and see if there's any other additional help that she can, you know, advise you of.
Okay,
sir, I'll do that for you. Do you have any known convictions at all, Mr. Drain?
Oh, yeah, I'll get back years ago, more or less. I think my last convictions would have been drunk driving, and that would have been one about 20 years ago, but not more than that. But I think it was one about 10 years ago. But all my other convictions were all mainly as a youth.
Yeah.
But I suppose if you've got access to everybody's records anyway, I mean, previous convictions will all come up. I'm not a total innocent, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
The problems I went through was, you know, during my early years, you know what I mean, from say 13 to about, you know, 17, sort of a, between 13 and 17 when I had convictions, when I was 17, when I was first put in the penal system. And then when I got out, there was no criminal convictions after that, because when I got out on license, I was about 19 or 20, and I got married shortly after that, and so I had a clear, I hadn't had a conviction in about 30 years after that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was only just when I fell on thing with time through alcoholism and stuff like that, that it reared its ugly head again, but I was well into my adult years then.
Yeah.
All the main abuse things and all that was, you know, from a very early age. And when you don't know anything, you know what I mean, when you're at, you know, that age. Do you know the worst thing about it? I mean, the convictions that I had that put me in the penal system, You could count up, it wouldn't cover a week's wages for the time that I've done. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Three months in Berlin for no paying your bus fare.
Wow.
That's what we're talking about. A £20 fine for not paying my bus fare. The bus fare was under, it was about half a quid at the time.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So imagine being 3 months for that, and one of the toughest years in Britain as a 16, I think I was 17 then, and you know, banged up their rifles and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And even through Brussels, smashing a shop window and picking a lighter in my coat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just silly things.
That's getting you about 2 or 3 years banged up for that. And that's all I was involved in as a kid. You know what I mean? There was nothing else.
Yeah.
But times have changed now. Do you know they actually took me to a big court case for, and they fined me 50 pence. So what it was for? Swinging on a scaffold.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, wow. Sometimes you jump up and grab a scaffold and you say, do what?
Of course, yeah. We've all been there.
That's what I done, and the police saw me doing it and run over and went, nah, we're not having that. So they banged me up for 24 hours and took me to court and fined me half a quid.
Wow.
And that's on my record, because when you get your thing, when you go to court and they give you previous,
yeah,
I was doing on the previous. Jesus.
No, wow, yeah, it's, we ain't able to do much, was you, sir?
I know, they jailed me one night for stood beside the pub because I was too young again, and I found an old kid's umbrella and I was tapping it off the wall waiting on someone coming out. I had a flask of tea in my pocket and slang with his cousin who were going on a night shift, and they said I was causing a nuisance inside the pub that was going to lead to violence and breach of the peace.
Ah, so you got locked up for that.
And the 24 hours I spent, and I lost my job through it for not turning up the night before for. And oh, that's just, you know, that's, I moved to England after all that.
Yeah.
To get away from that environment. You know what I mean? Glasgow is a really bad place then for. It was terrible.
Yeah, no, I understand that, David. I understand that, yeah. Well, could I potentially, Mr. Drain, grab the details of your GP, if that's okay?
Yeah.
Before your medical records.
Right, I'm just getting out of my bed now, so I've noted that, but if you want to write this down for us, Green Man Medical Practice.
Okay, and what area is that in, sir?
That is in London. It's in it's actually Leytonstone, Leytonstone. That's the one. That's exactly the one.
Yeah, E11-1GA.
That's correct. That's correct.
Perfect, sir.
How is it you go through with that anyway, with requesting anything like that? How does that reflect on the doctors?
It doesn't reflect on anything. Yeah, all we do is we write to the the admin team side of Greenman Medical Centre, and we just request for your medical records on your behalf, and obviously we disclose to them obviously what the reasons for that are, and that we've obviously been given consent from yourself. And obviously, yeah, they'll pass us over the medical records that's linked to your file from when obviously you first joined that medical centre.
Because that's the reason why I'm asking that is that's a bit sensitive with the thing that my ex-partner actually works in that practice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's a phlebotomist.
Yeah.
And if you're looking through that admin centre, that would be people that she works with.
Yeah.
You know, for the embarrassment as to what, because they wouldn't have any knowledge of my goings on, my previous. I'm just wondering how it would be worded as a request for records.
You know, yeah.
Would it be in, you know how they can request them sometimes if you're in a car crash or something?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand that. What I can do is I can have a chat to my colleague who is the one to request for these documents, and I can just have a chat to him and say, you know, if we should limit the information, detailed, you know, as much as possible as part of the client's request, I'm sure he'd be happy to do so. Obviously, as I said, pay your request. Because I understand, obviously, that situation and kind of like, yeah, ex-partner trouble, so I do understand, obviously, you don't want anything kind of coming your way or any sort of, you know, embarrassment kind of type.
It's not an embarrassment, but I'll just go to you, but I'm going to say, I'll be in a request, blah, 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 from you there.
Yeah.
Partner, you know what I mean?
It's business that you don't want people knowing, isn't it?
So it'd be nice that you could come in and say, oh, yeah, he was involved in a whiplash or something, you know what I mean, in an accident, and they just want to know his background, you know what I mean? Other than, you know, or some sort of an insurance claim for an injury if they fell over or something, but not for abuse and being in the penal system or being in a home or something, you know what I mean? It's just sensitive.
Of course, I understand that. I mean, as I said, I'll have a chat with my colleague and I'm sure he'd be able to word it right, obviously to stick with the, you know, the data protection services.
Well, even if they go in touch with me first, when, right, we've got a couple of choices we could ask this for, and you say, well, okay, it's best maybe doing it that way or something. You're not getting the same information, you know what I mean?
Well, of course,
yeah.
How long have you been there? How long have you been registered at this medical centre, sir?
Maybe 15, 18 years, maybe. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. See, I've moved quite a lot of times around the country, so my doctors have been changed over the years, you know what I mean?
Yeah. From, can you remember where you was before this?
Yeah, well, that surgery would no longer be there now. I passed it a few months ago, and it's been done away with, that surgery that I was in previously. I would maybe go back further than that to, where else?
Could I potentially grab the name of that previous area that's no longer there, only because obviously we can still request it from the NHS itself.
All right, yes. What was the name of that? Jesus, it's, what was the name? I know where it was, but I'm just trying to think of what name it come under.
Do you remember the road name?
There's somebody here. Yeah. Hang on a sec, I'm just somebody here that might know that.
Okay. All right.
Just give me a second. I know the doctor's name. I'm just trying to check the name of the actual address of it.
Yep. Okay. No worries.
Well, I've got the doctor's name anyway. It was Dr. Kenani, K-I-N-N-A-N-I, Dr. Kenani. And it was in London, North 8. I think it comes under Hornsey, or it might even be Turnpike Lane. I'm just trying to get the name of the road that it sits on. It's quite a main road. I'm not sure what. I've got it. She just googled it. It's 98 Turnpike Lane, Turnpike Lane. And that's an N8. I was under them for quite a few years. When Dr. Kanani died, the practice went, well, do you need the postcode?
No, but I've got a Dr. L. Kanani, yes?
L. Kanani, yeah.
L. Kanani, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he died a good number of years ago. And as I say, the practice, I moved addresses then, and then the practice, when I come back, the practice was gone. So, I'm trying to think of who I was under. But you get all that information anyway.
Yeah. I have got a Hornsey Park surgery.
Hornsey Park, yeah, well, you see, when he packed up, I moved out of the area, so I wouldn't have been under them again. I'm trying to think where my next doctor was after that. I don't know if I went right to Leytonstone. You've caught me off guard. I've usually got a good memory for where I've been. I was under a doctor in Highgate in North London for quite a few years, but even that's gone. Nothing lasts long in London.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You go back to the phone and a week, it's gone. They just bump.
There's no difference in the
house. Yeah.
Okay, sir. All right. And just to go through your care settings, obviously we've got four care settings that have been listed. I'll go through them shortly just to clarify that we've got the correct details, and you'll find out what local authorities we're under. So I've got Castle Towards, or Castle Towers residential home.
Yeah.
Okay, and was this all in Scotland, was it, sir?
I think all the ones you've got listed, because I think the lady kind of cut the conversation when it got to a certain point before it went to the English side. But the connection between the Scotland and the England was all during the same period. What happened in England had a bearing on, because it was still under the sentence, under the Scottish system.
Yeah.
What it was, I got gate arrested in Scotland. Again, they took me out of a Scottish institution and brought me down to the English institution because they charges in England. And then I finished up back in the Scottish institution after they had dealt with me in England, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was still serving the same sentence from Scotland that they took me to England for. Then they re-sentenced me and sent me back to Scotland.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I requested to get sent back to Scotland. I had to write to the Secretary of State.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Malcolm Ruskin, I think, was the guy at the time. See, I wasn't getting any visits in England.
Yeah.
So I was in here for months and months and months and never get any visits. Nobody would come away in here. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I requested to get sent back to Scotland, which they did eventually, sort of 2 or 3 months after that, and then they sent me back to finish the sentence back up in Scotland again.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Alright. So, this Castle Towers, is it near Argyll and Bute?
That's it, yeah. So it's got an island. Yeah, called Dunoon.
Dunoon, yeah. I can see that. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure if that still operates. I don't know.
Okay. And how long was you at Castle Towers for?
A few months.
Okay.
It was supposed to be, they said they were going to give me a break for 2 or 3 weeks. And I think they just wanted you out of the way for a while. And then they never gave you a date when they went out. They just kept you there. And
yeah.
They just maybe say to you a couple of days' notice, oh, by the way, you're getting back home again in a couple of days. Nobody told you anything. You were pretty much in the dark. You never spoke to anybody. There was no visits. You could write a letter if you wanted. That was about it. Yeah, it was just pretty much in the dark, really. Didn't even know where I was.
I don't know. That's not good, is it?
Well, we got picked up at the train station next minute, we're on a boat.
Yeah.
Where have we gone? So,
okay. Well, we've got Longrigan.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is that a young offenders institution? Yeah.
Yeah, it's under 21 detention centre for anybody that's, I don't know what the sentence is within there, but even anybody that's waiting in trial sort of thing. That's where you're getting remanded.
Okay, and how long were you in there for, sir?
I was only in there. It was fairly years, right enough. It was one of the worst places in the world, but yeah. The abuse in there was second to none.
Oh, wow.
Wasn't it sexual violence in there? They punched lumps at you every day.
Well, that's not good, is it?
No. They gave you chalk to buzz your teeth.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, okay, I'll make a note of that.
Yeah. Powdered chalk. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. if you put the shock anywhere else, bars your teeth, get a severe kicking.
That's not good, that's is it?
No. There's a lot of kids in there that shouldn't have been in there, but they should have been in an orphanage or something, because there was only kids.
Yeah.
You know, they're all shoving. They shouldn't have been there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why don't want abuse? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Queuing up in the morning to swap out to empty piss pots, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I seen one kid, it's still someone being walked in the corridor, walking in line, tripped over something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not going to police it. That's
It's not good at all. It's not good to go through sharing, and obviously, yeah, not the nicest for you, is it?
Oh my god, yeah.
Well, the next one that we've got here is that HMP Barlini.
Yeah.
Okay. And could you correct me in saying that that was possible, it had like an N, did it have an NHS inside the prison for, like, you know, mental health support, substance misuse treatment?
No, they never had that in days.
Didn't, okay.
They had a unit in there, but I think it was exclusive for long-term and not cases.
Yeah, okay.
You know, have you heard of Jimmy Boyle?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He, Boyle, they were in that unit. They were in, I was in there at the same time as them. They were all in that unit. And that was what a terrace house inside the Nick. And they just walked about willy-nilly as if they run the place. But we had no access to anything like that. So, I can't remember what they called that, you know. But they closed it down because people complained about it being too easy.
Yeah.
They were having my girlfriends were visiting them, wasn't it?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And how long was you in HMP Barlin, is it?
I was only in there 3 months. That was for the non-payment of the bus fare.
I hope it's that for that one, yeah.
Yeah, that was from December to February.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we've got Parliament for, is it for Borsal?
Borsal, yeah. But well, what happened was, when I get released from Berlin, they didn't release me. So what they do is, they keep me at the gate, and then there was two cars sitting outside, where there was police in one car from England, and police in another car. Scottish police.
Yeah.
So they were having an argument who was taking me. So anyway, what happened was the Scottish police went. So they took me in a car from Berlin and took me to a sheriff court at Fife, a place called Kirkcaldy. And they took me in there and they charged me in there with smashing that window and taking items out of that shop. And it was a automatic 10-day remand, and they took me to Stockton Prison, which is in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I was in there maybe about 3 months, because you're on remand, they just keep taking you back forward.
Yeah.
I get
that.
And then eventually, when the trial started and finished, they gave me 3-year Borsal. So, which was Pullman. But what they do then is, they don't take you directly to Pullman, they take you back to Stockton. And then they go through some kind of a process that takes maybe about 5 or 6 weeks. And then they allocate you to Pullman. So they take you to Pullman to start that sentence. But what happened was, I was only 6 weeks into that sentence. had a fight in there with some screws in there.
Yeah, I know.
And then they come up and told me to flag my bags. Okay. And I thought I was going to do it with the punishment box. Anyway, they dragged me out with the stuff in a pillowcase, took me outside, put me in a van. I'm still what's happened here. And then they took me back to Stockton prison. So
okay.
That's what's happening. And they said, no, you're in transit now. You're going down to London.
Wow, that's a bit of a hike, isn't it?
To face charges that happened in there, so they took me back to Stockton. Waiting on to get picked up from there. And then, from Stockton, it comes out there were about 16 of us. Dropped off in different parts of England. So they were waiting in screws with a big coach.
Yeah.
And they put it on a coach. And say that would have been, maybe about May of that year or something. And then my destination was Wormwood Scruffs, which was where I got dropped off to. We had to get through about 8 or 9, and maybe more, prisons on the way from Scotland to Wormwood Scruffs.
Wow.
To pick up other prisoners and drop prisoners off.
Yeah.
And the first place we went to from Edinburgh was Durham. And what a place that was. And we were in there. It wasn't just an overnight stay. I was in Durham for weeks.
Oh, wow.
That's the worst. I think that's the worst jail I've ever been in, Durham.
Yeah.
Oh, what a place.
Well, sir. You've been there.
You know that Durham, they had a wooden board for your bed, right? And it was fastened to the wall. And your blankets and sheets were folded up the floor, and you couldn't take that bed board down and put it on the floor until 5 o'clock every night.
Wow, so you couldn't.
Yeah,
you just couldn't lie down.
If they caught you lying down, you were in the punishment block. But the good thing about the Durham was, I was anti. You know what I mean? I was following it for them all the time, getting marched about and all that. And
yeah.
I rebelled about everywhere I went. Anyway, the screws took me down to see the priest. And he was asking me what was going on inside me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I said to him, listen, I didn't even know I was coming here. I've just been put to Scotland. I said, my father is coming to visit me tomorrow morning, up Pullman.
Yeah.
I said, which is 2 trains from where he is to get there. I said, I'm not there. Anyway, the priest done a good thing. He says, is your father on the phone? I said, no matter what, sir. He said, give us his number. We'll ring him and tell him where you are.
Yeah.
And, don't bother going there, blah, blah, blah. I said, it's my dad. He says, no matter what, sir. I'm going to ring him now and I phoned him. And when my old man answered the phone, and he said who he was and all that. My old man told it to the guys in the pub taking the piss.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So that was the way the conversation was going. He says, no, he says, your son is here. And then, and they put me on him. He said, what's happening? So I tell him. I said, they're putting me away. I'm going to London. Just tell him, just know he's going home. And I said, something was that. And I'll send you a letter or whatever to let you know when I finish up. And then, okay. And that was it. But it must have took maybe 3 or 4 months for me to get from Durham to Wormwood Scruffs.
Wow, okay. So how long did you end up living in Boston?
Well, they sent me back there.
Not really.
When I was in Wormwood Scruffs, when I was up in the Crown Court here, They gave me 18 months for a fight that happened in London, right? So they gave me 18 months for the assault. But, and then they took me down, and I thought that was the end of it. And then they took me back up again and says, they scrubbed the 18 months. They says, we can't give you a sentence that's smaller than a sentence you're already doing.
Yeah.
So, it says, because you're doing, a 3-year parcel, they says, you've got to do the same now, sir. And we don't think that what you've done deserves 3-year imprisonment. So, we're going to give you another 3-year parcel to go with a 3-year that you've already got.
Well, sure, that's not good, is it?
And then that'll probably run whatever concurrent or consecutively. So then, from the scrubs, they kept me in there for a while, weeks, whatever again, and then sent me to a hostel in Dover. So they sent me to Dover hostel, and then that's when I complained to the Secretary of State. Because Dover hostel, I was only one security in there. I had a lot of problems in Woodbridge Cubs. I was fighting there all the time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of liberty cases in Woodbridge Cubs.
Yeah.
And that was the first time with you had a slip of wrist in there. Woodbridge Cubs.
Right, okay.
So, and there was probably a lot of fighting with screws in there. And they had me in the mental health unit at Woodbridge Cubs.
Yeah.
And, I'm glad they never kept me in there, because I was in the padded cells below. Seems to be they sent me upstairs to the mental health wing. Who was up there waiting in the mental health wing? Reggie Gray.
Oh, really?
Because when I was getting deals and that through the hatch, the guy swapped and there was all that was. Tell the men of trying to get us back in the main wing because I praise up here. He's upstairs.
Wow.
He's abusing everybody. So I had to try and turn it around to go to that mental health unit to get back into the main population again. And then they sent me to Dover. And so I guess I wrote to the Rifkins at the time, the Scottish Secretary. I can't remember how long it took, a couple of months, 3 months, and then they sent me back, all the way back again. What I just think that, you know, different jails.
Yeah.
All the way back to Scotland. I done my time on a bus, the way it worked to. It worked to, I preferred it that way, going to different jails.
Yeah.
I did finish my time in Pullman. I was released from Pullman on license. So there's not many PhD not that Pullman. It's like two parcels in it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get that.
So.
Alright, Zach. So, we're obviously gathering your history there and also your GP details. Obviously, when we do the quest for them records to come back to us, once they do come back to us, would you like us to share that information with yourself?
Definitely. Because you never see any of that when you're in there. So
yeah.
I had quite a file in there, but I was always in trouble in there. So it would be interesting to see the trumped up and petty charges for nothing that, you know, deprived you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Deprived you. Food and stuff like that, you know, crazy things.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
Okay. So, what this...
I'll tell you a funny one, right? This has nothing to do with the case, but this is how petty they are. One was scrubs 7 days in a punishment block, and then they are in darkness, because it's the winter, you're in darkness from whatever, 6 o'clock at night, they turn the lights off.
Yeah.
And it says, right, two, if you want to save yourself 2 days, we'll make it 5 days punishment if you do these jobs and you fail well, you're there to keep the act of us. Fair enough. Do you know what it was? It was packing pencil cases.
Oh, really?
It's all different covers, pencils, you know, like rubber and all that stuff.
Yeah.
They gave you all these boxes, right? So you've got all the you've got all the packages put in the one bit, you've got all the pencils in the other bit, and you know how they're all different colours. So then you've got your back room in the dark, right? So I packed all these pencil cases, and then when they got them out, I thought I would take the piss and gave me another 3 days because all the pencils are all the wrong colours.
Wow, you can't really see much in a dark way, can you? Wow. Absolutely, mate.
I can't see it anymore.
It's crazy, huh?
I've never bought a pencil case since.
Yeah, no, you're traumatised. I don't blame you, sir. I don't even blame you one bit. Right, well, what I'd like to do, Mr. Dean, is I'd just like to inform you, obviously, to Jenny, me and yourself are both to embark on. The journey is going to be around about 6 to 12 months. Obviously, in this time, we're going to be presenting the best and biggest case that we can about yourself towards the Scottish Government. So, obviously, along that way, I'll be updating you every 4 to 5 weeks, giving you an update on, obviously, how the case is travelling and where we are at with the case itself. Obviously, in the meantime, if you do have any questions, you are more than welcome to give me a call on this number that I'm calling you on. And obviously what we try and fight for you, sir, is to get an official apology from the Scottish Government, but also fight for some financial compensation that's might be owed to yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously before I do conclude this phone call, I just do need to go through some of the legal fees that you, I know you would have went through a couple of days ago with my other team. This is the boring part of the conversation, so I do apologise. But obviously, you just have to run through this as part of the compliance team. So obviously, once this is all done and read through, I can leave you to enjoy a nice Monday morning. Okay, sir.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So as I do say to everybody, there is funding options out there for yourself, and the options that you do have is 3 options. So the first option that you can do with your redress application is you can apply yourself without a solicitor or a law firm. And that's what that is obviously building your own case and gathering your own evidence and then presenting that to the Scottish Government. Or option 2 is you can instruct a solicitor who participates in the government legal fee scheme where they can borrow up to £2,000, which is paid per case by the Scottish Government. What they do or how they deal with your case, I can't legally disclose because I physically don't know. But what I do know is option 3 is using MMA as a private and independent law firm. Is we work on a no win, no fee basis. So what we obviously try and do is, you know, get you that win, for obviously the right deal of compensation. But obviously if for whatever reason the result doesn't go our way, we don't come chasing you for any fees. Anything like that, so we don't give you any kind of financial burden or stress. Obviously, our fees are 16% plus VAT, which is capped at 19.2%. Obviously, that, as I said, is capped, so that will never change. And that was part of the document that we signed, that you signed, that I sent back to us kindly. So if you're happy to go ahead with MMA Legal, then what we can do is we can get started on your case. But that is only if, obviously, you are happy, and also if you're happy for me to waive off this cool-off period, which is due to expire on the 30th of April. That would have been set by my colleague 3 days ago when you spoke to her. She would have given you 2 weeks to, you know, have a think about things, change your mind if need be, anything like that. But if you're happy to use us and you'd like us to get started on your case, I can waive off this cool-off period and we can get started on it today.
Yeah. I'll just tell you one thing. Before I contacted you, I actually contacted the redress through the Scottish Government.
Yeah.
It was only a couple of weeks ago. But I've never heard not a thing back from them. So, actually, when your colleague phoned me last week, I actually thought at the time that was the Scottish Government, because I couldn't remember filling the other questionnaire thing in.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that will rear its head again, that Scottish Government thing. Or what do I do if they contact me and say, right, what about this redress? Do I just tell them, well, I've got an independent solicitors deal with it, I'll put you a date with them to blank them or what?
No, obviously, if they do get you, if they do get back in contact with you for whatever reason, you can disclose that. Obviously, you have turned to an independent law firm to deal with your application. Obviously, they're more than understanding of that, obviously, because they know that obviously their application isn't an easy process. You know, 98% of people do go down, an independent law firm or some sort of law firm to fight for them. Obviously, we know what we're doing and what we're fighting for.
Procedure, when you fill the forms in with them, they even take bank details after you know that for payment options.
Yeah.
Because what they're doing is tick this box if you'll accept $10,000 or tick this box if you want it to go on for 2 or 3 years and see what you finish up with.
Yeah.
So at the time I ticked that $10,000 box, I thought, well, but as I say, they never get back to me. So I don't know how they expect to deal with these things if they don't even acknowledge, the statements that you've put in.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
As I say, if they get back to me, I'll just say, well, it's an independent team would be for this now. So,
yeah, of course. You're more than likely to do so, sir. But yeah, obviously with this cooling off period, obviously as I said, my colleague would have given you around about 2 weeks to have a think about things.
Yeah.
That's due to expire on the 30th of April. Would you like me to waive that off your case and we can get started on it, otherwise we can't get started on it until the 30th?
Yeah, I know what you mean. What day is it? I know that 19th or 20th.
The 20th it is today, sir.
Yeah. Can you give me 24 hours to try in case there's any emails come in for them? Because I would like to know what they were saying, Because I suppose once I give users a go-ahead, I'll no longer be able to talk to them. Is that the way it works?
Kind of, yeah, obviously, because, yeah, we'll be the ones that deal with the case.
Yeah. It was handy even, to see what they were saying, so I could say to them, well, if you've any further questions of me, contact these people because they're acting for me now.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to tie it all off on the one bit so there's no two investigations going on at the same time, So, what day is it? This is Monday. Say she gave me to Wednesday, she gave me a couple of days then to email them and say to them, right, what's going on? This other love's taking over. Interested in all that stuff.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I can give you a call about Wednesday lunchtime and just see how things are travelling for yourself and obviously if you're happy to proceed with that.
Yeah, and I can say to them, right, go ahead. And that's that. So I'll give them a bit of grace. I'll email them.
Yeah.
And I give them 48 hours and then I can always say, well, I've emailed you and you never get back to me, so I've had to go the other route.
Of course.
It's as simple as that.
Of course.
Yeah, and I just nipped it in the bud with them, then they can mark it down on any files that
it's
yourselves that will be in touch with them.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah, grabs it up a bit. Yeah. Ties up some loose ends. I like doing things properly, So,
yeah. All right, so well, just before I do go, do you have any other questions for me, sir?
No, not at all.
Okay, well, as I said, this is my direct line. You do have any other questions or anything that's pop into mind, you're more than welcome to give us a call back, okay?
Okay, though.
Okay, all right, not a problem, sir. Well, yeah, Mr. Drain, thank you very much for your time today. I really have enjoyed that conversation, and I really hope you do have a wonderful day.
Thanks very much, son.
Not a problem, sir. All the best to you, too. Thank you very much. Cheers. Bye now.